want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. Good morning, gentlemen. This is Matt Halleck with another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. And this morning, I just want to jump right into it. I feel like I was spending time with the Lord, and almost immediately... some things jumped off the page at me, and I had to come on and communicate these things sooner rather than later. This morning, I think, is one of those mornings where there's a lot that's just flowing. I feel like the Spirit is just wanting to lead into more of just his goodness, more of his truth for us. So, that said, I wanted to also announce the DNA of a Man is taking off. We've been just getting a lot of guys jumping on board, buying their copy of it, buying some of the other resources that go along with it. So that is available for you. Also, I wanted to announce that on Saturday, July 25th, we will be kicking off the Take Back Your Marriage Summit. If you want to jump on board with that, go ahead, and I've got a link, but it's not in the description right now, but go ahead and get in touch with me over at manwarriorking.com, and I will get you set up. That, gentlemen, is it for now. All right. So let's jump into this. So, guys, as you know, we talk a lot about marriage. We talk a lot about a lot of other things as well. But right now, marriage seems to be a needed theme, both from the men that I'm now interacting with more and more, but also I think in the kingdom. I think it's on God's heart. I think that especially in our day right now, today, these days, we are needing to rise up as men. We are needing to rise up as this kingdom generation of men who are no longer getting bogged down and paralyzed by the pain in their marriages, but who are able to, through any bit of adversity, become a man who stands on his own two feet and who can be a presence in the earth of strength, who can be a presence in the earth of peace, of confident assertion in the kingdom of God. And It's so unfortunate and probably intentional that marriage has become an avenue for Satan to keep us bound and paralyzed because we have this different clashing, this different dysfunction going on in our home. And so then we get knocked out of being any good in society. And that is not, obviously, the will of God. That is not the heart of God. So I want to show you in Mark 4 how the teachings, how Jesus actually gives us keys for what masculinity looks like in marriage. And he doesn't actually come out and say, hey, this is what a man is supposed to be like as opposed to a woman or anything like that. But it is very, very applicable here to us, okay? So in chapter 4, verse 21 of the book of Mark, Jesus says to the people following him, is a lamp brought in to the house to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand for everybody to see? Because nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except that it come to light. Remember, Jesus calls us his followers, men and women alike. He calls us the light of the world. So I want to challenge you this morning to look at yourself as this lamp that Jesus is talking about. Are you, sir? Are you a lamp? And are you brought into your home just so that you can be put under a basket, just so that you can be hidden away under the bed? There is an unfortunate trend among husbands to hide themselves as if they are a lamp under a basket. And I want to be careful here because I don't want it to be communicated or for anybody to hear me saying that, you know, the wife is the one who makes this happen. The wife is the one who does this. The wife is the villain, the enemy, blah, blah, blah. I believe in these situations in marriage that no single person is the sole one at fault. So don't hear me say, on the one hand, well, your wife is fantastic and wonderful and perfect, and it's you who's all screwed up. Don't hear me say, on the other hand, that you are as white and pure as the snow, and your wife is the one who is completely off her rocker. Do not hear me say that. I'm not saying those things. But what I am saying is that for whatever reason, a lot of times we men, husbands, we are like this lamp that gets put under a basket. And it's we ourselves who submit to this basket. We put ourselves under this basket. And I know for me, that has been rooted in this over obsession, this infatuation with my wife's opinion of me, where I so want her to think so well of me because I so want her to communicate her attractiveness to me. I so want her to desire me that I become a chameleon. I become a weak lamp put under a basket so that she doesn't conflict with me, so that she doesn't have anything against me, so that she doesn't hold anything against me. So instead of me being true to the conviction that's inside of me, instead of being true to the thoughts and the desires and the opinions that God may have been giving to me, I put them under a basket so that I can get by with being liked a lot by my wife. This is evil, and this is wrong, and this actually leaves our homes without our true presence. It leaves our homes without our true leadership, because if we are constantly managing our thoughts and our behavior and our convictions and our beliefs and all of that in order to pander for our wife's approval, then we are no different than this lamp being put under a basket. And when we start that trend in our home, then it continues on into our greater realm, into the world at large around us. And this cannot be how we live in the world as men of the kingdom. Because we are called to a whole heck of a lot more that we can't get done if we're sitting around putting a basket over our heads. How in the world are we supposed to go out and take ground for the kingdom? How are we supposed to communicate the power and love of the Spirit to a world that may not want it if we can't even communicate our opinions and our convictions to our wives? So, Jesus goes on to say, now, here's what the kingdom is like. He says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he doesn't even know how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So this is what the kingdom is like. And there's so many other applications for this, okay? But if we're talking about how we conduct ourselves as men in our everyday lives, in our homes, then let's look at it that way. So this is how the kingdom operates, man. It's like you're a farmer scattering seeds over the ground. And you go to sleep and you get up and the seeds grow and you don't even know how. Look at this picture. Do you see how different this is than the constant wringing our hands, the constant manipulation, trying to make sure that, and it could be anybody, that the person X, Y, or Z thinks something of us, thinks well of us. See, there's an element of confidence here. When we lack confidence, then we resort to manipulation. We resort to being a helicopter person, where we are always hovering around and trying to make sure that everybody is okay, everybody's feeling all right, because if they're not, then it's probably our fault, and we are not secure enough to be able to handle anything like that. Translate that to you and your wife. But look at what confidence does. Confidence says, listen, I have been given this certain seed, this certain potential harvest that is mine to plant. So I'm going to do that. I've been given, as a man, as a husband, I've been given the kingdom inside of me because I am a lover of Jesus, right? So I've been given the kingdom inside of me. I've been given the power of the presence of God, and it is mine to sow as much as possible. It's mine to sow wherever I can. And so regardless of whether the people around me, including my wife, are going to agree with me operating in my kingdom conviction, regardless of whether my wife would agree or have problems with whatever, I will in confidence sow the seeds of the kingdom in my home, in my family, in my marriage. I will with confidence go after being a man of joy and staying in joy day in and day out, even when conflict arises. It's not that I'm going to be a jerk and not listen and not be compassionate and humble, but I'm also not going to let any conflict, even if that's conflict where I screwed up, I'm not going to let that sink its talons into my spirit and pull my countenance down. Because then I'm letting my failings, the conflict, my wife's maybe lower opinion of me, I'm letting that have more power than Jesus. So in confidence, I move forward as the man in my home, leading the best I know how into the presence of Jesus. In confidence, I do this. And I get myself so rooted in him, my spirit so fixed on him, that the planting of those seeds in and of itself is reward. And I don't even need the people around me. I don't even need my wife to get on board because I am so fixed on Jesus that I can maintain joy more and more regardless of the result. And then it goes on to say that Jesus said, what else can we compare the kingdom with? What parable should we use for it? Okay, it's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, it's the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it's sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Now, look at this. Okay, the kingdom, it's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Not too impressive. It's not. We've got the other scripture that says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. But when a man, I believe, begins, if a man has been living in his marriage for a long time as just pandering for his wife's approval, pandering for her affection, doing everything he possibly can to get the scraps of desire and affection that fall from the table, so to speak. And again, please hear me, this is not painting women to be enemies, okay? I believe this dynamic has different elements involved where the woman is doing things on her part and the man's doing things on his part, all right? So please don't hear me say that women are the big bad wolves that are devouring men for lunch, okay? I'm not saying that. But men, we can carry this tendency in and of ourselves, where we're pandering for her affection and her approval and all of that. So when a man transitions out of that and starts to go after the strength of his masculinity in the kingdom, infused by the power of the Holy Spirit, it can look small. And it can even invite doubt from the people around him, especially his wife. It can invite conflict. It can invite resentment and frustration, because anytime we, any one of us, man or woman, husband or wife, changes the equation in our marriage, it's going to rock the other one's boat, unless the other one is already in a place of health ahead of us. So when a man transitions from living in that weak, pandering neediness, where he's always trying to manipulate his wife into giving him more and more affection all the time, and it's not actually real love, but it's manipulation and selfishness. When a man transitions out of that, then it may look very small and unimpressive. And if I were looking at a mustard seed, I'd be like, well, you're not going to produce a big tree. You're not going to be anything to write home about. But Jesus says, when it grows up, it becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches. Sir, our job is to get through the time of being a small seed, because if we can make it through that unwavering, which we can, it is possible, then we can reach the place where we begin to grow bigger and stronger, and then nobody can argue with the fact that we are operating in strength. Nobody can argue with the fact that we are rooted. We have sent roots down deep, and we are unshakable. And we can actually maintain our frame. We can maintain our strength. We can maintain the confidence of the Spirit. And look, it says that the birds of the air make nests in its shade. Right? So we can become this covering. We can become this strong presence where our wife can come and rest in us. Whereas maybe at the beginning of the transformation, she was dubious, rightfully so. Maybe at the beginning of the transformation, she even was hurt. She was angry. Maybe there was a lot of fighting and conflict. But we can reach the place where we become a shelter and she can find rest in us. Reminds me of how Todd White talks a lot about when he was first saved and praying for people to be healed. And at first, his wife, she didn't know different either. She was newly saved from, they both had this crazy past. And he talks about how at first he would go out and pray for people in public, and she couldn't stand it. She got really angry, and it was went on for months. I think it was something like 9 months where she wouldn't even go out in public with him, because she couldn't handle him praying for people to be healed. And he stayed true to that conviction that the Lord had given him to pray for healing for people, even in spite of her resistance. And I don't know the ins and outs of everything that went on in their relationship and his heart and everything like that, but at least from here looking back, he was able to maintain a position of strength and love and not get offended and not get butt hurt and not let her resistance pull him away from who he was actually supposed to be. And it became, now it became this thing where now he stayed true to the kingdom, allowing the presence of Jesus to do its work instead of him having to always fight back with his wife and say, well, why don't you respect me more? Well, can't you see I'm just trying to be like Jesus? Can't you see I'm just obeying him and you're not getting on board? You've got the problem. Instead of going there, he just stayed true. He stayed in a place of love and became a place of shelter and safety. Right, so This is what we can be, gentlemen. This is what our marriage can look like. And when we can operate like this, then it can culminate in like the end of this chapter 4 of Mark, where Jesus calms the storm. You guys, I have said it for years in many different contexts, but we are destined, we are called to be atmosphere changers. We are called not to get pushed and tossed around by the storms of everyday life. We are called to change those storms. See, it says that in the middle of this storm, verse 35, that the waves were breaking into the boat, and the boat was filling with water, but Jesus was in the stern of the boat, asleep on the cushion, and his disciples awoke him, and they said, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" So, too often, we are like the disciples in this story, and we need to be more like Jesus. Too often we panic. We look around at the problems. We look around at the conflict. We look around at the things coming against us. Maybe we look around at the pain in our marriage and we say, "Jesus, don't you care?" And he awoke and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" We might think we have faith when the going gets tough, you guys. We might think that we have faith because we're going to Jesus. You can go to Jesus and not have faith. Apparently, that's what it looks like here. They went to Jesus and said, "Don't you care? Please help us." And he said, Do you still have no faith? So I think we need to look at how we can be like Jesus, where we can sleep in the storm because we are so anchored in our identity as a son of the Father, that becomes so much more our reality than anything else around us, that whatever storm comes, we can sleep in it. And it's not irresponsible. It's not foolish. It's rest and it's power because, as Bill Johnson has said before, we empower the thing we fear. So if we fear that storm, if we fear the conflict with our wives, if we fear losing her affection or her attention, then we give that thing power more than the presence of God. So we can actually, as we operate like this, we can become atmosphere changers. We can still storms. And it's not just marriage. We can look at the storm of sickness in somebody's body and we can say, "Hey, I will pray for you. And you know what? When I do, Jesus is going to heal you." And we can see him heal. Miracles. And I'm not just preaching this. I've seen it myself. For those of you who know my story. So let's come alive in this morning, gentlemen. Let's come alive in this. Remember, check out the links to grab your copy of The DNA of a Man. If you want to join the Take Back Your Marriage Summit, it's starting in just a couple of days. Get in touch with me, and we're going to do this. Till next time, love you all. Peace.
This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.